Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.
Health insurance mandatory for all Californians. Hello again, I'm Armin Alney, and this is Which Way LA, KCRW's ongoing series on the issues Southern Californians care about. That's what Governor Schwarzenegger's proposing to fix what he calls a broken health care system. Those who could not afford insurance would be helped by the state, and insurance companies would not be allowed to reject anyone because of age or medical condition. Tonight, more on a plan the governor says will make history. We'll also ask if proposed cuts in welfare would take away with one hand what he says he wants to give with the other. First, here's the news. We're only back with Which Way LA on KCRW. Governor Schwarzenegger today announced a plan to require all Californians to have health insurance. The governor's plan would also prohibit insurance companies from rejecting applicants for age or for medical condition. Tom Chorno is a reporter in the San Francisco Chronicle, Sacramento Bureau. And Tom, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
What about those who can't afford health insurance? How can the governor require them to buy it?
Well, I mean, we really don't know exactly how this will work. He gave us some very specific details on certain aspects of the plan. And unfortunately, at this point, we don't exactly know how he will do that. I think that that's a key thing that some of the interest groups are asking for more detail. And I know in theory what he's thinking about is that there will be a marketplace or sort of a market-driven solution in which the insurance companies will provide products that somehow they will become available. Almost magically, perhaps.
But he said in his speech that if people couldn't afford health insurance, the state would help them get it.
There will be a big pool of money. This is part of his component here is he's moving money around in terms of Medi-Cal dollars and subsidies that now go to help hospitals and doctors pay for uncompensated care. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, he made a very, very big thing out of the so-called hidden tax that insured patients are paying to subsidize the uncompensated care that uninsured patients get. He's looking to tap into that using a provider tax, as the industry has recognized it. So he's looking to try and redirect money that's already in the system, and he's sort of hoping that by opening up certain doors and windows that this thing can kind of manage itself a little bit.
He said that the insurance companies would not be able to reject people based on age or their health. What about their occupations? What about the kinds of drugs that they use? A big story today in the Los Angeles Times about that.
Yeah, you're asking some of the same questions that we asked shortly after the event today. And to be fair and honest, we still don't know, you know, some of the details. It's not really clear exactly how the rating system will work.
So what then is the point of making an announcement if the entire program isn't as yet clear?
Well, I'm afraid you're asking the wrong guy that question.
I guess the what I was trying to tease out there was, does he hope to get help from the legislature in this regard?
I think there's two things going on. I mean, I think you have to be fair. I mean, this is far more detailed, a plan than many people expected him to provide today. And there's a certain political risk of him coming out with such a plan. There was a lot of pundits up here in Sacramento that didn't believe that he would, because it's sort of the beginning of a negotiation, and why turn a card over if you don't have to? And so what he did today was a fairly broad, fairly sweeping proposal. Certainly not all the details are worked out, but there's at least as much framework, and some would say more, than either of the plans that came out in the last week or so or a couple of weeks ago from the Democratic leaders.
Looking at the text of his speech, here's something that certainly is bound to be politically controversial. He says there is no debate about whether to provide medical care for people who are in California illegally. I know this is controversial, but federal law requires us to treat anyone who shows up at an emergency room in need of care. So the question then, he says, is how to do it right and how to do it efficiently.
Yeah, and he's going to have trouble with that. He's going to still need some votes from Republicans who don't agree with him here in the legislature. And although I've heard just as recently as an hour ago that the Assembly Speaker suggests that they can probably put together some bills that they think they can pass through a majority vote, the sense is that there's some elements to the governor's plan that would require two-thirds majority, and if that's going to include money that would be spent on folks that aren't here legally, I think you're going to have a lot of trouble with Republicans.
The Democrats have the majority in both houses. They do not have two-thirds in either house, and they require that for certain kinds of bills, especially the ones that involve a lot of money.
That's exactly correct.
So the process begins then. What happens next?
Well, I think what we will see here shortly are a lot of, meetings and perhaps some hearings. There may be, there was some suggestion today that maybe the administration try to move ahead with a component just to cover the kids, which is something that the governor has talked about and the legislative leaders have talked about. There may be some efforts to actually put some of this stuff into legislative language, give it a bill number, and, see what happens. I think there'll be an awful lot of meetings with interest groups, the insurance industry. There was sort of a round table there with the governor's folks that after the speech the governor gave. And I think a lot of people are seeing this thing certainly for the first time. They're not quite sure how all of this is going to work. As you point out, there are some incredibly important details that haven't been well-defined yet, and until we see those things, I think a lot of people are going to be kind of on the fence about whether to support or oppose certain things. So I think you're going to see several months' worth of conversation before we really get down to what may be parts of this that folks can compromise on.
Why is this so important to the governor that he would deliver this in the first week of his second term, even before he's done the State of the State speech?
You know, it's an interesting question. It was an issue, certainly, that we saw back last summer as a place where he might be vulnerable during the campaign. He had, up until this point, a pretty poor record on healthcare issues, had opposed a number of plans that would have extended care and made the situation maybe a little better. And it was something that he certainly felt in talking with him a couple of times and hearing him on this, in speeches and whatnot. You knew that he cared about it and wasn't quite sure how to approach it. My guess is that he, has a certain momentum, feels a sense of momentum up here, here in California and nationally, to do something about it. And he feels like he's taking the opportunity.
Okay. Massachusetts, of course, has already done something along these lines. The governor said, however, he wants to lead the nation. California, a lot bigger, more complex state than Massachusetts. So presumably, I guess this would give it a run-up if he could figure out how to do it.
I think a lot of people are watching him. Certainly, with the number of uninsured, we lead the nation in the number of uninsured. The population of uninsured here is among the poorest in the nation as well. They don't earn as much as other uninsured populations in other states. There's complications with the undocumented immigrant status of many of those. It's a very diverse group and a very complicated problem, and if somehow he can get a leg on it, I'm sure that people nationally will be paying close attention.
Tom Chorno, reporter with the San Francisco Chronicle in Sacramento, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jamie Court is president of the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, based in Santa Monica, as the title suggests, a consumer organization. He's author of Making a Killing, HMOs and the Threat to Your Health. Jamie Court, welcome to you.
My pleasure.
You've been very critical of the governor on this issue as well as on others. This does some of the things that you've been calling for.
Well, yes, it really is remarkable because he does take on some of the more pernicious insurance industry practices in the marketplace. I just wish he'd do it without requiring all Californians to buy health insurance without making it affordable. You know, the things he did right here was requiring insurers to sell all Californians' health care policies. I believe in the slide presentation I saw today, I heard him say guarantee issue, which means if you see health insurers today in the individual market denying coverage based on someone being an allergy sufferer or being having diabetes or even having, taking trivial medications like toenail fungus medication. These are reasons to deny coverage today for insurers, and Schwarzenegger seems to say today that he's going to force insurers to sell to everybody. He also said today he was going to make sure that the insurers spend 85% of a premium on medical care, on medical costs, and those are pretty big things. the problem is he also took that step of saying every individual in the state's got to buy health insurance. And I'm looking at health insurance policies for a family of four that cost over $11,000 a year. That's according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. I mean, that's a big number. So how do you force people to buy something that's that expensive? And what he didn't do today, the governor, is deal with making that health policy more affordable by limiting what insurers can charge or doctors can charge or hospitals can charge.
Well, presumably there's some sort of income standard, wouldn't there be, in order to determine what's affordable and what's not, because he says the state will help those who can't afford to buy the policy.
Well, that's certainly true, but last proposal I saw in the legislature from Assemblymember Keith Richmond on this was if you made more than, I think it was $36,000 a year, you had to pay for it yourself. So if you make more than $36,000 a year, and we're looking at $11,000 or more for a health insurance policy, that doesn't work. Those numbers don't work. In Massachusetts, you get assistance going up to, I think, $60,000 for a family of four. And they haven't yet figured out. In fact, interestingly enough, Thursday they're going to figure out what the product you have to buy in the state is and how much you have to pay for it, because they have this mandatory health insurance as the first state to do it. But we don't have the type of not-for-profit marketplace they have in Massachusetts. Schwarzenegger, to his credit, took a few of the Massachusetts laws we don't yet have and used them as a model by saying take all comers, charge some degree based on community, not condition. He does allow insurers to charge more based on medical condition, although apparently there are going to be limits. So I think we need to go a little further in terms of the insurance reforms here, but I would be applauding this plan but for the fact that he's requiring individuals to pay for a policy that he can't guarantee a cost on.
Jamie Court, president of the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, critic of the governor and of the insurance industry as well. Chris Oman is president of the California Association of Health Plans. Mr. Oman, welcome to you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
What do you think of this plan?
Well, you know, we have to give the governor credit for striking a bold stroke. He has taken on and presented a balanced plan, which, whether folks agree with it in whole or in part, is a plan that hangs together in terms of providing coverage for all Californians. And that's a pretty impressive step to take. I think what he's really done today, though, is started a very important dialogue, and he set the framework for that. He said there's going to be benefits for the stakeholders that are involved in this, and he said there's going to be costs for the stakeholders that are involved in this, and that he's challenging all of the stakeholders, be they providers, be they insurance companies, and indeed individuals, to understand what it is being asked of them and what they get from it, and then also asking to look at that for the benefit of California as a whole. And that's a pretty impressive statement, and I think we respect the request that he's made of us. There's certainly parts of this which the health plan industry finds compelling and attractive, and there's parts of this which we find less compelling and attractive. But I think we have to go and do our homework and understand it and respect the governor's call for all of us to engage in the dialogue going forward.
I would assume that what Jamie Court referred to as all comers, the idea that the insurance companies could not turn down anybody for age or for health related reasons or for the kind of medicine they were taking, that would be something that your industry might want to fight.
Well, you know, again, the plan is struck as a balance. It's a little bit like a well-balanced meal, and it is not an a la carte menu. And I think the concern of just putting out a requirement that insurance companies issue insurance to all individuals is that if you don't have enough healthy folks who are in the pool to pay for folks when they get sick, then the cost increases for everybody in the pool. We have 1.7 million folks in California who get their coverage through the individual mark. That's half of the national market, And yet, for individuals, it's 17% cheaper than the national average. So if we relax the standards, if we require everybody to come in, and we don't require them to stay in the pool and continue to fund the insurance pool when they're healthy, so they can access it when they're sick, then the cost increases for everybody, and we could end up with the perverse result of actually reversing the amount of coverage that we have in California. So again, it's a balancing act, and we have to be very, very careful.
I didn't specifically ask this of Tom Chorno of the San Francisco Chronicle, but I assume, Chris Oman, that one of the things that's not clear as yet from the governor's plan is whether there would be any penalty or any adverse impact on those people who, for whatever reason, didn't buy medical insurance, even though it was required.
Yeah, they were not clear on exactly the, you know, what the enforcement mechanisms were and the like. There's some allusion to the to using the tax system and the like, as they do in Massachusetts. But I think that Mr. Chorno is correct, is that there's more detail to be forthcoming around that to understand how that really would work.
Let me go back to Jamie Court with the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. Is this, do you think, the kind of big program that comes out with a lot of fanfare and then ultimately gets gummed to death in the legislative process?
Well, I'll tell you, I was surprised in the sense that it's a rare day when you have so many different interest groups, from the employers to the HMOs to consumer groups to doctors and hospitals, all saying, there's a lot we don't like, but boy, he did. He took a step towards us. I think this could very well be ground up in the sausage factory. And what I fear most is that instead of strengthening the good consumer protections here, usually when something a plan gets to the legislative process, Chris's lobby is a little stronger than ours, and it usually wins in the legislative process, or in the hospitals or the doctors win, or some interest group that's organized and gives campaign contributions wins. And I worry about that, because there are some really valuable ideas here in terms of market changes, and unfortunately, I don't have faith that they will survive. I think that the difference, the only hope here, the difference between this and other grand plans, is that you've got the legislative leaders already throwing out their plans, and there is some common ground. And so I think they're going to have to take this pretty seriously if they don't want to be embarrassed. I think there's going to be a conversation we didn't have before. And I'm hoping we can walk away with at least a fair marketplace and probably coverage for all the children in the state. I mean, if we walked away with coverage for all the kids in the state and something that is a marketplace where more people have a voluntary incentive to buy and an ability to buy insurance at a more reasonable cost, I think you get more insured people. But a mandatory provision is going to be really controversial, and if it's not affordable, like auto insurance, we have a system where auto insurers have to ask permission from the state to raise rates. It's still very controversial, because auto insurance, even though it's cheaper than elsewhere, it's still fairly expensive. You can always take a bus. You don't have to drive, but you got to breathe if you want to live in the state of California. If you have to buy auto health insurance to live here, and it's a pretty big price tag, I think the public's going to have a real problem with that unless you guarantee it's pretty cheap. And if it's too cheap, then you're going to have a policy that may not do everything you want it to do. So this is a real tough balancing act, but I do think the governor's struck the first note right in terms of putting everything on the table.
Chris Oman, back to you with the California Association of Health Plans. There's different kinds of power and leverage in our system. Jamie Court's organization may not have the money that you do and make the kinds of contributions, but do you think that there really is a groundswell of public opinion that goes in the direction that the governor wants to move?
Well, I mean, I think that we ought to check facts before we allege what folks' various influence and contributions are.
Okay.
I think we would all be surprised as to who's contributing to whom. But I think that state your question again for me. I'm sorry on that.
Well, the question is there a popular groundswell for the kinds of reforms or the kinds of changes, if you want to put it that way, that the governor is proposing?
I think that it's an interesting problem that we face, is that in one sense, it is a real concern that 20% of Californians approximately don't have coverage, the 6.5 million folks, but conversely, 80% do have some form of coverage, and there are concerns about the affordability. There's questions about how to access the benefits and like. And so it's not perfect, but by and large, people they do have coverage and they are satisfied with it. So I think that what this is finding a voice for those folks who don't have coverage and trying to get them that coverage. And there's a host of good reasons to do that, from a public health point of view, and from simply the right thing to do. I think that's what's driving it.
Do you agree with Jamie Court that what might come out of this, first of all, and perhaps the only thing for this session would be protection for all of the children in California.
Well, it's interesting. You know, that actually is a place where Jamie and I agree, that in my industry agrees. We issued a policy statement a month or so ago in which we call for all Californians to be covered, but we explicitly call out that we, as our top priority, covering all children. And I think that if we ended this year with all children in California with health insurance, it would be a very good year indeed.
Chris Ullman, again, president of the California Association of Health Plans. Thanks a lot for being with us.
You bet.
Today's plan may be ambitious, but it comes just a day after another proposal which could do harm to some of the same people the medical plan is supposed to help. The governor wants a rollback of welfare payments, including a cutoff to tens of thousands of children whose parents don't meet certain requirements. Evan Halper wrote that story today for the Los Angeles Times. He's also based in Sacramento. Evan, good to have you on our program.
Hi, Warren. Good to be here.
Tell us, if you will, a bit about these cuts, and how does the governor's office explain them at the same time that he is reaching out to people with regard to health care?
Well, it's about $500 million in cuts, and mostly what it goes after is a safety net that was put in place during the Wilson years when welfare reform was pushed in this state and across the country, of course. And the safety net basically exists to provide for children whose parents aren't meeting the work requirements that the federal guidelines require. Basically, those families still get some cash grants to the point is to avoid children falling into homelessness. There's some thinking in the administration that there needs to be an incentive to get these parents working, and these cash grants are keeping the parents from finding jobs. And there's tens of thousands of families that fall into this category. They're also not going to do a cost of living increase that they typically do every year. And they're also talking about taking away some cash grants that specifically go to the children of illegal immigrants whose parents, of course, are not eligible for the program because they can't legally be working in the state or in the country. How does it square with the governor's health care plan? That's an excellent question. The governor's been talking about health care for some time. CalWORKs, I think he sees differently. I think health care is more of a middle-class priority, and it fits with his agenda of, looking to do things to help the middle class, whereas, this is a different group of people, and I don't think the polls are as strongly in support of these kinds of cash grants for welfare recipients. So, and the governor's finance director has been for years. I mean, he's a guy who's been around under the Wilson years, and he's always advocated for this kind of tough love approach, as he calls it, and, now he's the budget chief, This is something he's pushing.
Still, the fact does remain that some of the same people are involved. Don Parada, the Senate leader, Democrat, of course, from Oakland, is saying the governor's proposing health care for poor kids while taking away their breakfasts does set the governor up for that kind of attack.
Yeah, you're certainly right. It does seem quite a contradiction. I think you also have to look at the political situation up here. You've just been talking about the very ambitious health care plan that the governor rolled out today. The Republican lawmakers are not pleased about that health care plan. It includes new taxes that they have taken pledges not to vote for. They thought the governor was standing with them against new taxes. They've been signaling for some time that they intend to resist any health care plan that includes that. This basically was some red meat that he was able to throw to them and say, well, this is I'm still a conservative and I still believe in personal responsibility and here I'm going to do this.
We hadn't heard before about new taxes involved with the health care plan. Where would the new taxes come in?
Well, there's a tax on employers who have more than 10 employees who don't have health insurance. The way the plan works is that if those employers don't provide health insurance to their employees, they have to pay a 4% payroll tax. It'll raise $1 billion a year, and then it goes into a fund to provide insurance for those employees. The administration is calling it a fee, but the people I've been talking to all day on this issue say that's really not a fee. A fee is when a business pays for something and to cover the cost of regulation or get something in return. This is it's a much bigger stretch to call this a fee. The difference between a tax and a fee in Sacramento, it's very important because to raise a tax, you need a two-third vote of legislature. You need to get all kinds of Republican lawmakers. A fee you can do with a simple majority vote, and Democrats and the governor could push that through on their own.
All right. So a lot of action in Sacramento. And Evan Halper, tomorrow we're going to get the State of the State speech tomorrow evening. Any predictions as to what's going to be in there? Any indications, I should say, from the governor's office?
You know, it's so far it's been all about health care. And then this, you know, this CalWORKs thing came out of the blue. So right now, I'm not sure what else he's going to put in the State of the State, but I'm sure it's going to be really interesting, and stay tuned. It's always interesting with this governor.
We will tell our listeners about it tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Evan Halper with the Los Angeles Times, thanks a lot for being with us. Thanks also to Jamie Court with the Foundation of Tax for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, Chris Ullman of the Association of Health Plans, and Tom Chernow with the San Francisco Chronicle. Which Way L.A., produced tonight by Christian Bordahl and Karen Radziner, Technical Director Phoebe Zimmerman. I'm Armin Alney. Join us again for Which Way L.A. on 89.9 KCRW.
Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.